Space Race, from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia. http://en.wikipedia.org. The Space Race, an informal competition between the United States and the Soviet Union, lasted roughly from 1957 to 1975. It involved the parallel efforts by each of these countries to explore outer space with artificial satellites, to send humans into space, and to land people on the moon. Though its roots lie in early rocket technology and in the international tensions following World War II, the space race effectively began with the Soviet launch of Sputnik 1 on 4th of October 1957. The term originated as an analogy to the arms race. The space race became an important part of the cultural and technological rivalry between the USSR and the US during the Cold War. Space technology became a particularly important arena in this conflict, both because of its military applications and due to the psychological benefit of raising morale. Section 1. Historical background. Subsection 1.1. Early military influences. Rockets have interested scientists and amateurs for at least 2,100 years. The Chinese used them as weapons as early as the 11th century. Russian scientist Konstantin Tsiolkovsky theorized in the 1880s on multi-stage liquid fuel rockets which might reach space. But only in 1926 did the American Robert Goddard design a practical liquid fuel rocket. Goddard performed his work on rocketry in obscurity, as the scientific community, the public, and even the New York Times scoffed at him. It took war to catapult rocketry into notoriety. This proved a harbinger for the future, as any space race would become inextricably linked to military ambitions of the countries involved, despite its mostly scientific character and peaceful rhetoric. Section 1.2. German contributions. In the mid-1920s, German scientists had begun experimenting with rockets powered by liquid propellants that were capable of reaching relatively high altitudes and distances. In 1932, the Reichswehr, predecessor of the Wehrmacht, took an interest in rocketry for long-range artillery fire. Wernher von Braun, an aspiring rocket scientist, joined the effort and developed such weapons for Nazi Germany's use in World War II. Von Braun borrowed heavily from Robert Goddard's original research, studying and improving on Goddard's rockets. The German A-4 rocket, launched in 1942, became the first such projectile to reach space. In 1943, Germany began production of its successor, the V-2 rocket, with a range of 300 kilometers, or 185 miles, and carrying a 1,000 kilogram, or 2,200-pound warhead. The Wehrmacht fired thousands of V-2s at Allied nations, causing massive damage and loss of life. As World War II drew to a close, Soviet, British, and U.S. military and scientific crews raced to capture technology and train personnel from the German rocket program installation at Peenemünde. The USSR and Britain had some success, but the United States arguably benefited most, taking a large number of German rocket scientists, many of them members of the Nazi Party, including von Braun, from Germany to the United States as part of Operation Paperclip. There, scientists adapted the German rockets, intended for use against Britain, to other uses. Post-war scientists turned to rockets to study high-altitude conditions via radio telemetry of temperature and pressure of the atmosphere, cosmic rays, and other topics. This continued under von Braun and his colleagues, who became part of the U.S. scientific complex. Section 1.3. Cold War Roots of the Space Race. After World War II, the United States and the Soviet Union became locked in a bitter Cold War of espionage and propaganda. Space exploration and satellite technology could feed into the Cold War on both fronts. Satellite-borne equipment could spy on other countries, while spacefaring accomplishments could serve as propaganda to tout a country's scientific prowess and military potential. The same rockets that might send a human into orbit or hit a specific spot on the moon could send an atom bomb to a specific enemy city. Much of the technological development required for space travel applied equally well to wartime rockets, such as intercontinental ballistic missiles, ICBMs. Along with other aspects of the arms race, progress in space appeared as an indicator of technological and economic prowess, demonstrating the superiority of the ideology of that country. Space research had a dual purpose. It could serve peaceful ends, but could also contribute to military goals. The two superpowers each worked to gain an edge in space research, neither knowing who might make a breakthrough first. They had each laid the groundwork for a race to space and awaited only the starter's gun. Section 2. Artificial satellites start the race. Section 2.1. Sputnik and America's reaction. On the 4th of October 1957, the USSR successfully launched Sputnik 1, the first artificial satellite to reach orbit, and the space race began. Because of its military and economic implications, Sputnik caused fear and stirred political debate in the United States. Before Sputnik, the average American assumed that the United States had superiority in all fields of technology. Von Braun's counterpart in the Soviet Union, Sergei Korolev, the chief engineer who designed the R-7 rocket, which sent Sputnik into orbit, would later engineer the N-1, designed to launch cosmonauts to the moon. In response to Sputnik, the U.S. would launch a huge effort to regain technological supremacy, including revamping the school curricula in the hope of producing more Brauns and Korolevs. Lyndon B. Johnson, vice president to President John F. Kennedy, expressed the motivation for these American efforts as follows. In the eyes of the world, first in space means first, period. Second in space means second in everything. The American public, initially discouraged and frightened by Sputnik, became captivated by the American projects which followed. School children followed the succession of launches, and building replicas of rockets became a popular hobby. President Kennedy gave speeches encouraging people to support the space program and trying to overcome the skepticism of many who felt the millions of dollars might better go on building stocks of proven existing armaments or on fighting poverty. Nearly 4 months after the launch of Sputnik 1, the U.S. launched its first satellite, Explorer 1. In the interim, a number of embarrassing launch failures had occurred at Cape Canaveral. On the 31st of January 1958, Explorer 1 discovered the Van Allen radiation belt. While the Soviets had scored the initial first, Explorer 1 proved the first satellite to perform a meaningful scientific function. Subsection 2.2. Satellite Communications. The first communications satellite, Project SCORE, launched on December 18, 1958, relayed a Christmas message from President Eisenhower to the world. Other notable examples of satellite communication during, or spawned by, the space race include 1962, Telstar, the first experimental transoceanic communications satellite. 1972, Anik 1, first domestic communications satellite, Canada. 1974, Westar, first U.S. domestic communications satellite. 1976, Marysat, first mobile communications satellite. Section 2.3. Other noteworthy satellites. The United States launched the first geosynchronous satellite, SYNCOM 2, on July 26, 1963. The success of this class of satellite meant that a simple satellite dish no longer needed to track the orbit of the satellite, as that orbit remained geostationary. Henceforth, ordinary citizens could use satellite-mediated communications transmissions for television broadcasts after a one-time setup. Section 3. More Soviet successes, living creatures in space. Section 3.1. Animals in space. Technically, fruit flies launched by the United States on captured German V-2 rockets in 1946 became the first animals intentionally sent into space for scientific study. The first mammal sent into orbit, the dog Laika, traveled in the USSR's Sputnik 2 in 1957. While in any event the technology did not exist at the time to recover Laika after her flight, she died of stress and overheating soon after reaching space. In 1960, space dogs Belka and Strelka orbited the Earth and successfully returned. The American space program imported chimpanzees from Africa and sent at least two into space before launching their first human orbiter. Scientists then used these animals and their dozens of descendants for biomedical research until public outcry led to their release to semi-wild conditions in the late 1990s. Soviet-launched turtles on Zond 5 became the first animals to fly around the moon, September 1968. Section 3.2. Humans in Space. Yuri Gagarin became the first successful cosmonaut when he entered orbit in Russia's Vostok 1 on April 12, 1961, a day still celebrated as a holiday in Russia and many other countries. 23 days later, on Mission Freedom 7, Alan Shepard first entered space for the United States. John Glenn, in Friendship 7, became the first American to successfully orbit Earth, completing three orbits on February 20, 1962. The first dual-manned flight also originated in the USSR, August 11 through 15, 1962. Soviet Valentina Tereshkova became the first woman in space on June 16, 1963, in Vostok 6. Korolev had initially scheduled further Vostok missions of longer duration, but following the announcement of the Apollo program, Premier Khrushchev demanded more firsts. The first flight was with more than one crew member, USSR's Voskhod 1, a modified version of the Vostok craft, took off on October 12, 1964. This flight also marked the first occasion on which a crew did not wear spacesuits. Alexei Leonov from Voskhod 2, launched by the USSR on March 18, 1965, carried out the first spacewalk. This mission nearly ended in disaster. Leonov almost failed to return to the capsule and, due to a poor retrorocket fire, the ship landed 1,000 miles, or 1,600 kilometers, off target. By this time, Khrushchev had left office and the new Soviet leadership would not commit to an all-out effort. Section 4. Lunar Missions. See main article, Moon Landing. Though the achievements made by the U.S. and the USSR brought great pride to their respective nations, the ideological climate ensured that the space race would continue at least until the first human walked on the moon. Before this achievement, unmanned spacecraft had to first explore the moon by photography and demonstrate their ability to land safely on it. Section 4.1. Unmanned Probes. Following the Soviet success in placing the first satellite into orbit, the Americans focused their efforts on sending a probe to the moon. They called the first attempt to do this the Pioneer program. The Soviet Luna program became operational with the launch of Luna 1 on January 4, 1959. The Americans' Robotic Surveyor program had the goal of locating a potential landing site on the moon. Following this, Apollo 8 carried out the first manned orbit of the moon on December 27, 1968, laying the groundwork for placing a man on the moon. Section 4.2, Landing a Human on the Moon. While the Soviets beat the Americans to most of the space race's initial firsts, they failed to beat the U.S. Apollo program to land a man on the moon. After the early Soviet successes, especially Gagarin's flight, President Kennedy and Vice President Johnson looked for an American project that would capture the public's imagination. The Apollo program met many of their objectives and promised to defeat arguments from politicians both on the left, who favored social programs, and on the right, who favored a more military project. Apollo's advantages included 1. Economic benefits to several key states in the next election. 2. Closing the missile gap claimed by Kennedy during the 1960 election through dual-use technology. And 3. Technical and scientific spin-off benefits. In conversation with NASA's director, James E. Webb, Kennedy said, "Everything we do ought to really be tied into getting on the moon ahead of the Russians. Otherwise, we shouldn't be spending that kind of money, because I'm not interested in space. The only justification for the cost is because we hope to beat the USSR to demonstrate that instead of being behind by a couple of years, by God, we passed them." Kennedy and Johnson managed to swing public opinion. By 1965, 58% of Americans favored Apollo, up from 33% in 1963. After Johnson became president in 1963, his continuing support allowed the program to succeed. The USSR showed a greater ambivalence about human visits to the moon. Soviet leader Khrushchev wanted neither defeat by another power nor the expense of such a project. In October 1963, he characterized the USSR as not at present planning flight by cosmonauts to the moon, while adding that they had not dropped out of the race. A year passed before the USSR committed itself to a moon landing attempt. Kennedy proposed joint programs, such as a moon landing by Soviet and American astronauts and improved weather monitoring satellites. Khrushchev, sensing an attempt to steal superior Russian space technology, rejected these ideas. Korolev, the Soviet space agency's chief designer, had started promoting his Soyuz craft and the N-1 launcher rocket that had the capacity for a manned moon landing. Khrushchev directed Korolev's design bureau to arrange further space visits by modifying the existing Vostok technology, while a second team started building a completely new launcher and craft, the Proton Booster and the Zond, for a manned cislunar flight in 1966. In 1964, the new Soviet leadership gave Korolev the backing for a moon landing effort and brought all manned projects under his direction. With Korolev's death and the failure of the first Soyuz flight in 1967, the coordination of the Soviet moon landing program quickly unraveled. The Soviets built a landing craft and selected cosmonauts for the mission that would have placed Alexei Leonov on the moon's surface. But with the successive launch failures of the N-1 booster in 1969, plans for a manned landing suffered first delay and then cancellation. Section 4.2.1. Apollo 11 gets there first. While unmanned Soviet probes did reach the moon before any U.S. craft, American Neil Armstrong became the first person to set foot on the lunar surface after landing in July of 1969. Commander of the Apollo 11 mission, Armstrong received backup from Command Module pilot Michael Collins and Lunar Module pilot Buzz Aldrin in an event watched by over 500 million people around the world. Social commentators widely recognized the lunar landing as one of the defining moments of the 20th century, and Armstrong's words on his first touching the moon's surface became similarly memorable. "That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind." Section 4.2.2, Other Aspects of the Moon Landing. Unlike other international rivalries, the space race has remained unaffected by the desire for territorial expansion. After its successful landings on the moon, the U.S. explicitly disclaimed the right to ownership of any part of the moon. Some conspiracy theorists still insist on seeing the lunar landing as a hoax. These Apollo moon landing hoax accusations flourish in part because, while many enthusiasts predicted that moon landings would become commonplace, except for the several ensuing Apollo landings in the next decade, such predictions have not yet come to pass. Section 5. Other Successes. Section 5.1. Missions to Other Planets. The Soviet Union first sent planetary probes to both Venus and Mars in 1960. The first spacecraft to successfully fly by Venus, the U.S.'s Mariner 2, did so on December 14, 1962. It sent back surprising data on the high surface temperature and air density of Venus. Since it carried no cameras, its findings did not capture public attention, as did images from space probes, which far exceeded the capacity of astronomers' Earth-based telescopes. The USSR's Venera 7, launched in 1971, became the first craft to land on Venus. Venera 9 then transmitted the first pictures from the surface of another planet. These represent only two in the long Venera series. Several other previous Venera spacecraft performed flyby operations and attempted landing missions. Seven other Venera landers followed. The U.S. launched Mariner 10, which flew by Venus on its way to Mercury, in 1974. It became the first, and so far the only, spacecraft to fly by Mercury. Mariner 4, launched in 1965 by the United States, became the first probe to fly by Mars. It transmitted completely unexpected images. The first spacecraft on Mars, Mars 3, launched in 1971 by the USSR, did not return pictures. The U.S. Viking landers of 1976 transmitted the first such pictures. The U.S. also sent Pioneer 10 on a successful flyby of Jupiter in 1973. This foreshadowed the first flyby of Saturn in 1979 with Pioneer 11, and the first and only flybys of Uranus and Neptune with Voyager 2.